This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
We've got Tom Garden here. He's got a brand new comic that's been many years in the work that's being released. It's a collection of a bunch of issues and then also a brand new issue. Tom, good to have you here.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So tell us a bit about System Earth, where it came from and what it's about.
Well, I guess it starts like I went to art school here in Dunedin, and that gave me a lot of time to ponder. I like sci-fi because you kind of get to think about the philosophical questions of like where we're heading. But I also am like a kid at heart, and I like Dragon Ball Z and, you know, all these kind of like fun things, like, you know, old school Star Wars and stuff. So this is a comic series that is, you know, it's very kind of lighthearted and I guess action adventure in its genre. But I'm kind of structuring it in a way that it can kind of become quite an epic, you know, an epic story that is kind of interlinked with heaps of characters and stories and stuff.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a sprawling, well thought out world that you've come up with. Can you talk about it a little bit, like what it's about?
So it's kind of like it's set on Earth, but it's, you know, it's so far in the future that it's kind of almost a fantasy-esque. You know, it's post-apocalyptic is what, you know, you call that. So like, you know, relics of the past, you know, relics of our time are pretty much, you know, no one knows of them. So, and then it's kind of like the first volume, it follows this guy, and it gets revealed that his mind has been put into this little funny robot. And the first volume is about him just trying to find his body, get his body back while he's kind of running around smashing stuff up and all these other weird experiences are happening around him. You know, and these, all of these kind of like secondary stories, these B stories, they're all kind of interlinked with the, you know, the overall, the big picture story. Because it's essentially one of those stories where you've got a whole bunch of characters and, you know, they've all got their own story to tell, and they all kind of help, you know, illustrate the big picture, I guess.
Sweet. And some of the supporting cast are quite memorable. I had a read of it, and that real badass female character is very memorable.
Oh, yeah. Hopper Hawks, maybe? I can't remember. There's a couple. Oh, Zed.
Zed, yeah.
Project Zed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so the next comic, so it's always kind of confusing to tell people kind of how it's set up, but the comic series is called System Earth, and I'm having a launch to release volume one of System Earth, and so that volume is called Death Battle at Woodhill Mall, and that is 7 issues that I've made over the last like 10 years. That's all put into one volume, and it's kind of telling the story of that one character. And the next issue, which I'm working on, well, it's pretty much finished. It's a really big issue. It's like 65 pages.
Right.
And that's carrying on from the story of Death Battle at Woodhill Mall. And it's following different characters, but it's definitely following on from it. Yeah. So the first volume, Death Battle at Woodhill Mall, that's about 160 pages all up. Yeah. So it's a graphic novel.
Yeah, that's quite the undertaking.
Yeah, it's been a, you know, on and off. I've just been working on this on and off for a number of years. And then I think, you know, once I finally actually finished it, which was like last year sometime, I was like, wow, this thing is actually done. I've finished this massive project that I kind of started 12 years ago. So I was really pumped and I was like, cool, I'm gonna get this out and everything. And so I started to just draw a page a week for this new issue for volume two. And now I'm 65 plus pages done with that, which is pretty much, you know, almost halfway through that volume. So yeah, it's been kind of a crazy experience because I've been able to just, you know, now I'm getting a bit more experience doing this kind of stuff. I can just kind of plug away at it. And, you know, all of a sudden the weeks go by and you've got another comic. So it's great.
Yeah. It sounds like you've really refined your skills and learned a lot, as you'd hope you would over 12 years or so.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to the point where, sorry.
Oh, no, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say it's to the point now where, like, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, I've got such a handle on it and I feel so comfortable with it. Yeah, it'd be just silly to stop now.
Yeah, I reckon you've got that momentum behind you.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a bit about what you've learned and maybe a bit about process?
Sure. I could talk all day about process. Where would I start this? I think I'm obviously not going to go into detail about every single bit, but maybe I'll just kind of, for me, it was really kind of handy is, you know, I'm an illustrator and a writer second. So, you know, I'm sitting here trying to write the story and the words and stuff. And I really had to, you know, when I got stuck on the writing, I would jump back into the storyboard of the scene. And just by kind of mixing up and drawing some doodles of that storyboard of those images, I was able to just kind of, kind of progress in another direction, like hitting it from another angle. And I think that kind of stuff is, for me, it's been really great to just be able to kind of work with the visual side if you get stuck. And then if you get stuck on the visual side, you go back to the writing side, and you just work in tandem with that. So like that's kind of that's where it starts. And then I just do I make sure I scribble out all the action scenes and stuff really loosely, so it kind of feels almost like I'm watching it in real time, you know, on a TV show or something. I'm just scribbling it out, and you know, getting a storyboard of the whole scene, I think it's step one, and then you can go back and look at your page layout and stuff like that and start refining stuff. But I mean, this heaps. I do my work in Photoshop. I used to mix it up and do the pencils traditionally, and then I ink it traditionally, and then I kind of mix it up. Sometimes I'd do the penciling in real life and then scan that in and then do the inking on the computer. But these days I just do everything on the computer with a screen tablet, because it's faster.
And you're moving towards 3D for some of the backgrounds, is that right?
Yeah, so pretty much for vehicles or backgrounds or scenes where there's a consistent background, like in, you know, more than say 5 or 6 frames of the comic, then it kind of becomes more efficient just to block out a real simple 3D scene to use. just to kind of draw over. But yeah, for vehicles, I really like spending some time in Maya, which is a 3D program, and just kind of modeling a vehicle, because obviously vehicles don't change shape. So it's really super effective to use that as reference. And I just take a screenshot of it and bring it into Photoshop and draw over it on a different layer.
Yeah, especially for drawing it from different angles and things.
Yeah, totally. And what's been interesting to find is that depth of field, what is it? Field of view, depth of field. The one, you know, you can use depth of field to distort the camera lens. So like, you know, you got the classic. So if you've got something like, you know, if a hand that's pointed at the camera or something like that, you can really manipulate like how much the distance between like that hand, the person's hand and the person's faces by depth of field. And you can do that kind of stuff in the 3D program, and you can kind of figure out what the best depth of field would be for that like intensity of the scene. And like real good like illustrators, they, you know, they naturally do that. But then obviously you got this whole side of filmmaking where it's like choosing the right depth of field for the appropriate moment. So like it was really interesting to kind of realize that it's actually quite a integral part of like nailing a scene visually. I found this quite mind-blowing when I figured it out. Like, wow, look at that. Like, you know, that's how you make that look real stylish. It's like, you know, when Trinity is like pointing a gun at the camera and she says, dodge this, you know, and shoots the agent
in the Matrix. Yeah. Just the distortion.
Yeah, on the roof. Yeah. Just that elongated perspective. Anyway, what's next?
Influences. That definitely makes me think of Peter Chung, Aeon Flux, and the Animatrix. Yeah. Would you say he's an influence on you?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, a lot of, like, because this project started, like, 12 years ago, I can hardly even remember, like, what things I was watching and etc.
Mike Mignola.
I mean Mike Mignola on style, like he's such a great place to start when it comes to learning, you know, how effective like using black is, essentially, like when you're inking comics, like, you know, you can hide so much. And you know, the black is actually, you know, the shadow of the scene, which essentially means that it's, you're lighting it, you know, you're lighting it. The places that aren't shadow is where your light is. And lighting, of course, is very important to mood in a scene. So it all comes from that, you know, really figuring out your shadows. And like Mike Mignola, he kind of just takes that to an extreme, like almost like a, you know, he's exemplifying the importance of shadow.
It becomes a big part of the composition too, like, you know, the use of negative space. I've definitely noticed that in your comics too.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I was just recently I've been, you know, I put Pinterest as my home page when I open my browser, because just to get a little bit of inspo, you know, when I go on the browser. And
that's a great idea.
And like what I've been doing lately, because I've been trying to figure out like motion you know, in comics, you know, and like mangas do motion so well, like, and then so all of a sudden, like my feed has been just full of like manga pages, and I kind of realized how much that was kind of influencing me back in the day as well, with you know, there's like big chunky onomatopoeia words, right,
sound
and stuff.
Effects and things.
Yeah, because I mean, like the Japanese, you know, language or the script or whatever is so
kanji.
It looks so great as graphics. But yeah, like I mean, I just keep, you know, like recently I've been influenced by Andrew McLean. He makes Headlopper. Let's see if his name right. And his, like, you know, he simplifies. Yeah, Andrew McLean.
Yeah.
Headlopper. You can kind of see his like influence from Mignola as well, but he kind of moves it in a much more cartoony way, I guess. And like there's literally pages from this new issue I'm working on where it's just like I've blatantly like tried to copy his style just to see how it looks. And then I'll like move back to like my style or something. Cause it's real hard for me to kind of not explore new styles as I'm, you know, drawing this consistent story. But at the same time, for me, I'm like, I really want it to kind of, I mean, I want it to look consistent so it's not distracting. You know, it doesn't just change dramatically and you get kind of sucked out of the story. But yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of room for kind of flexibility and styles throughout your comic, and it's still quite cohesive. I know towards the end of that collection, there's a couple of issues that are more in a clean line style, like Hergé kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It still works.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, and that's like, yeah, it's all kind of an exploration, really. I mean, I kind of, at the moment, this next issue, I'm doing it in color because I just, you know, like, if you're going to spend, you know, hours and hours making a 150 plus page comic, I might as well do it in color and learn a bit more about color at the same time.
Yeah. If you're spending all this time, you may as well spend a lot of money.
Yeah,
color is so much more expensive.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I might do it in black and white for this run, because I really like black and white. I really like it. It's so cool, and that's why manga just looks so cool. And I almost want to, like, you know, maybe the one after this I go back to black and white. And so I can kind of like each book just kind of mess with the tone just by changing things like that. Or maybe like an action scene just goes to black and white, you know? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Sweet. So your comic's called System Earth. It comes out soon. We don't have a release date just yet, right?
Yeah, yet. We've had complications due to COVID and stuff. So at the moment, I'm thinking around, it's going to be August, late August, September.
Yeah. And if people want to see it, tomgardenart.com is a place to take a look, right?
Yep.
And that's fine. At Tom Gardenart for Instagram. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Sweet. Do you want to talk a bit about your day job?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a 2D illustrator and also a 3D artist for a local game studio called Balancing Monkey Games. And so, yeah, I mean, I do concept art for the the next project we're working on, which is, you know, without giving too much away, is, you know, fantasy sci-fi. So yeah, I spent a lot of the day just drawing really cool stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, and their last game that they put out was After We Leave, right?
Before We Leave.
Before We Leave.
Before We Leave, yeah.
That was quite well received critically.
It was. Yeah, I mean, when Sam, you know, because I was doing some freelance stuff for him, but he was like, all right, we need some pictures drawn. Here's the game that we need these pictures drawn for. I'll give you a, you know, a free copy. And I played it and I was like, this is actually wicked. Like, I really genuinely like that game. So that's really cool that I'm kind of working at a place where I really dig the projects they're working on. Yeah. So should anyone out there, it's called Before We Leave. It's on, you can actually get it on console now. So it's on PC and Mac. I think it's on Mac. Actually, I don't think it is. But yeah, it's out there.
Oh, yeah. And if people want to see you in the heat of the action of drawing stuff, you've got a weekly Twitch stream. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I just started up. I'm going for consistency. So every Monday at 1 to 4, maybe an early, finish an hour earlier or something. But I'm just working on a page of the comic. And I don't talk. I just put on really atmospheric music. And, I mean, if people ask stuff in the chat, I'll answer it. But I don't have my mic on. I just sit there and draw the page. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And if people want to check that out, it's twitch.tv/Kiwi_guy. 666.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, you'll probably be able to find links to that on my Instagram as well, I guess, hopefully.
Yeah, and that's
make that happen.
Yeah, that's Tom Garden Art. Sweet, thanks Tom. I think that'll about do us. Yeah, thanks for chatting, and look forward to
no problem
to reading your comic.
Thanks, man. Yeah, exciting times.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.